everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Taking a break from G.I. Joe Resolute for a week, because why not? Because Robert Clark Chan, who we'll talk to in a moment, we'll introduce him momentarily, had a great idea to do a Father's Day episode, because Father's Day is this weekend. And you know what? Getting ahead of holidays is not exactly what this show is known for. Famously, we ran Christmas episodes in like March one year. We don't know what's going on, but we did it this time. So you're going to have to wait a week to finish Resolute. But I mean, you may be already watched. None of this matters. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast. And I am Race to Canis.
Can I talk now? Do I get a say in this?
Can I get a what?
Reclaiming my time. Claiming
the
my time.
Speaker is not recognized. Thank you.
What was the question?
What's your name?
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
What's your deepest fear was the question. I'm Gina Polito.
Fear that this podcast won't ever achieve the heights of success that I wished it were 10 years ago.
I don't think you want that kind of success deep down. I think if the things you said on this podcast actually went out to millions of people, your life would be terrible.
And that would be different from my life. How?
I see no difference. They're the same picture.
Honestly, my life is pretty good. Honestly, it seems like a lot of work if I were successful. So never mind.
Yeah, not worth it. Gina's probably the most successful person here.
And look what a shambles her life is.
My God. Jesus. Gina, what's your name?
Gina, what's your name?
I already said it. You just didn't.
I know what you're going for there, but it sounded.
You literally never listen to women. So I already said my name, but you completely forgot.
There we go.
Gina, in my defense, I barely listen to anyone. You hear that? An angel just got its wings because I told a true statement.
And the fans call you out on it, too.
I have no idea.
Who's playing the triangle in the background?
That was my Apple Watch. How many times do I need to tell you people that?
How many times do you tell you to turn it off? It's a podcast.
It's an Apple Watch.
Also, why do you... Why?
It's connected to my
body.
On. If I why turn do your it off, rings... I die.
Why do your rings keep closing while you're doing this podcast? A, any podcast, honestly. B, this one specifically. Is your heart rate up so high? You're just like, oh God, I gotta get this cartoon knowledge out there. I gotta do it for the children.
It's stress from dealing with the two of you. My heart rate monitor thinks I'm working out.
Our city is literally on fire because jackbooted thugs and mustard faced jar heads are in it, and you're concerned about Ray's incorrect thoughts about 80s animation, or in this case, what, 2000s? Is this
2000s? 2000s,
yeah, dog. It's
we don't call it the aughts around here,
but this is before cell phones, I'll tell you that.
The 2000s are decidedly not before cell phones. Yeah,
wherever this Superman episode was. We're doing Superman, everybody.
Oh, 1960 to 2000. So it's the 90s.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I said that, Gina, but you just don't listen to men.
No, we said it at the same time.
Come on, Gina.
We did it at
the
same time.
I can understand from Gina's perspective, though, the rage that she must feel having to talk to the two of us every single week.
I mean, I try to get out of it
every
week.
Yes, it's the same for me, too. You wiggle.
And sometimes you accomplish.
I really wish you wouldn't take down entire airports to do it. You could just say, like, I don't want to do it this week. And we're like, okay, we'll figure something
take
out.
Take a break, then. That's fine.
Just, like, fucking take down all of New Jersey. Jesus.
Mm. So, you know, planes can't take off. It's terrible. But I get it. I understand. I never watched the Superman animated show. I barely even knew there was one from the same people who made Batman the animated series.
Yeah, it's great.
This one just escapes me.
It's really good.
I mean, it looks and feels exactly like Batman.
Yeah, well, that's why when they go, that they're both in the Justice League animated series, it's seamless because they've already both existed in one another's world.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I I'm a fan of Superman. I've grown to be a fan of Superman. Back in the day, I was not really a fan. I kind of found him to be a boring character. Very one-dimensional, just too goody two-shoes. I like those anti-heroes.
My God, you're such a around fucking this time dude. Of the 90s. You are such a fucking white dude.
Gina, my favorite two comic books are G.I. Joe and The Punisher. And every time I go to a new comic book store, I have to tell them I'm a fan of G.I. Joe and The Punisher, but I'm not like that.
You're such a Snyder bro,
and they roll their eyes and go, uh-huh, just like every other guy who comes in here.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm totally into the Snyder cut, but I'm not one of those guys. I have a cyber truck, but I'm not one of those guys.
I hate the Zack Snyder movie.
I voted for Donald Trump 6 times, but I'm not one of those guys.
Yeah, that's you. God. That's you, Ray. Chan nailed it.
That's like me. Twice every time he was, or 3 times every time he was elected.
Look, what's the people I see? I'm seeing people popping out of the woodwork now that say, I didn't vote for him for all of this. And I'm like, but all of this is what he said he would do. Yeah. It was all written down. You were told about it.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
None of this is a surprise. Mm-hmm. The speed is the only surprise.
Well, they should be saying, I didn't vote for any of all of this to happen to me.
Yes, thank you.
Anyway, let's get off of this topic because
we're an invaded city right now, Chan. We are under literal invasion.
I podcast to get away, and I already derailed the wrestling podcast with all of this bullshit too. So
just for the people at home, there are no riots in Los Angeles. Everything is fine. There's a handful of bad actors, and for the most part, I would say for the entire part, the police had everything under control. What they want is a riot.
No. The police are the ones shooting the tear gas canisters. They're setting shit on fire. They're the ones shooting the bullets that are breaking the glass that they're then blaming on rioters.
Sure, yes. Yeah, no, we all saw the Australian lady get shot with a shotgun.
Be assured that when Los Angeles riots, you will know.
You will know.
You will know what the Watts riots were. You will know what the 92 Rodney King riots were. There will be a name for these riots, and good things will probably be the result.
Yeah, they won't need to resort to footage from 5 years ago. How about that? They'll have plenty.
Anyway, we're talking about professional wrestling. AEW Dynamite.
No, we're not. We're talking about Superman and Father's Day. Chan, you're a father.
Ostensibly.
I mean, I'm a father. Gina, you're basically a father.
I fell asleep 5 minutes ago.
Gina's a zaddy. Does that count?
Gina is a zaddy.
Damn right. Yeah.
Cat zaddy.
God, I'm going to make that for Gina for Christmas. I'm going to make a sweatshirt that says cat zaddy. Oh
my God.
And then it's a picture of Jeff Goldblum playing piano with Gina's face photoshopped over it.
Honestly, those need to be in our store pronto.
I'll make it happen.
We'll all buy
which
one.
I mean, I will not make it happen.
No chance, but I want it.
Yeah.
In sure, this sure. moment, for Who now.
Does? Everybody does. Everybody listening to this wants it now.
So did you all watch? I had a point there. I forgot it. Do you all watch Superman back when did you watch this show when it came out? Because honestly, like, I didn't know this was a thing. And I feel embarrassed now.
I knew it existed. I mean, only a idiot would not know it existed.
Yes, correct.
But like, Bruce Timm and Paul Dini, like they did Batman. And then Warner was like, what else you got? We're like, well, I would have. No. What? Make more of the same. And so they did.
Yeah, and I will say that, like, it never quite hits the heights that the Batman the Animated Series does. But the voice acting is great. The writing is solid. And it's the same animation, animators and animation style as Batman. Really, the reason to watch this is to be a completionist with the Justice League, because the Justice League is great. I've just been rewatching all of it. It's all on HBO. It's great. And if you watch all the other ones, if you like first, it's real good.
Okay. Yeah, look, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. Like I say, I used to think he was boring. I now have a general appreciation for the quality of his character.
Yeah,
same thing with Captain America. I didn't necessarily have the respect for the character I needed that I have now grown to have.
Yeah, Superman requires nuance that honestly I think is kind of lost on a little kid. They'll get just sort of the general like, oh, you should be good and kind. But what that means to an adult is a very different thing. It is a lot harder to aspire to that kind of thing. And so a lot of people just sort of like cast aside. It was like, well, it's just for kids, you know, just like be good, whatever. I can't be good. I live in a tough world. I gotta be mean and broken, and I gotta fucking punish people for things that my parents did to me. And turns out you don't.
Yeah. Wouldn't it just be better though if Superman came in and just was killing people in his initial outing?
Absolutely. 100%.
Snyder Bros.
What if Batman walked around with an assault rifle? Wouldn't that just be better?
Just for clarification, because I've never seen Justice League or the Man of Steel, whatever the ones that Snyder did, does that actually happen in those movies?
Yeah, Zack Snyder. So I've been breaking down the original Superman movies on New Rock Stars.
That's fun.
I've been writing the breakdowns, helping write the breakdowns. I want to give credit where credit is due.
Gina has been single-handedly running New Rock Stars, and
Gina,
she wants to make sure she gets credit.
Gina wears an Eric Voss mask and also presents them as well.
78, Christopher Reeve Batman is already out on the channel. It's great. Richard Donner, super, super great. Christopher Reeve, good. Super great. Gene Hackman, amazing. And I'm doing the second part two, but specifically the Donner cut, which was not released until 2006 because he got fired from the project in 1980 and they released a different cut in 1980. And then he could not get the rights. Warner Brothers couldn't get the rights to all the footage that he needed until 2006.
Wow. Huh. Release the Donner cut.
Hashtag. How is it? Because I don't think I've ever seen
it. It's great. I had never seen it. I had seen like clips of it and things like that. And also some of the footage for that is used in the Zack Snyder Superman because Marlon Brando, basically everyone hated the producers on this movie. And after Donner was fired, they all refused to come back and do any reshoots for the new director.
Damn.
And Marlon Brando basically was like, remove me from the movie. So in the theatrical version and the version that we all grew up with, he was not in it. It was like there were scenes that were definitely different. But then once Marlon Brando died, his estate allowed Warner Brothers to use that footage in Zack Snyder's Superman to play Superman's dad, basically. Or, you know, like a guide from Krypton, basically. And no, it was Superman Returns. Sorry, 2006 Superman Returns. And then
I was going to say, no, that was Russell Crowe.
Yeah. It was 2006 Superman Returns that they used that footage for. But yeah, it's not completely different. Donner had to sort of cobble together some stuff, like, because he never got a chance to. He had shot 75% of the movie when he was fired. So he had most of the footage. But basically, like later years, after the Snyder Cut came out, a lot of people involved in that movie were like, what is this horse shit? Because there's like a scene in Superman 2 where, you know, like Superman bows down to Zod. He's pretending he doesn't have powers anymore, but really Zod is depowered. And then Superman like sort of like crushes his hands and he puts him in a headlock. And like, it looks like he's going to snap his neck, but obviously Superman would never snap a defenseless dude's neck. That would be insane. And
that'd
Chan,
be crazy. You'd never Chan, put that in a movie.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what happens in Zack Snyder's Superman. He snaps Zod's neck. It's insane. Also,
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it when I saw the first time. I was like,
it was insane.
No.
And also, and like, so Richard Donner was like, wait, what is happening? And then there's another big plot point in Superman 2, the 1980 Superman 2, where he's fighting the three Kryptonians who've escaped from the Phantom Zone, who each are as strong as he is. Mm-hmm. And he's fighting them in the city, and he abruptly flies away. And it's all a ruse because he realizes like, oh, holy shit, I can't, like, there can't be casualties because I'm Superman. And guess what happens in the Snyder Cut? Chan. He lets so many people die without even trying to. So I'm sure I'm pissing someone off because, like, you know, the Snyder Bros are insane. But the Snyder Bros are like, yeah, this is what Superman should be. Fucking gritty, doesn't care about people, snaps dudes' necks. And it's such an insane take.
It's insane. At the end of that movie, when the city is literally devastated, like a third of the city is just full on like 9/11. You know what I'm saying? Like just gone. And he's flying in the air, making out with Lois Lane.
Yeah.
When his super hearing must be picking up tens of millions of people in dire need. And he's just up there having a romantic moment. I got real mad.
Yeah,
I got real mad watching that because I'm just like, you have pooped all over the soul. And Henry Cavill's good.
Yeah, he never had a chance. It's just Zack Snyder is, listen, Zack Snyder does one thing kind of well and then beat it into the ground and did it for everything. Like he was just like, I've enjoyed some Zack Snyder movies, but he has become a parody of himself at this point with that Rebel Moon on Netflix. Yeah. And I watched Before Anyone Comes for Me and says, I don't know what I'm talking about. I watched both his cut of Justice League immediately followed by Whedon's cut of Justice League. And I will say, that if Zack Snyder had been able to make a 2-hour version of his movie, I think it was probably better because Whedon's was like tonally all over the place. Like he threw in bits and jokes that were like, oh man, this doesn't belong here. But you can't have a fucking 3.5-hour movie and like call it a good movie. Like that's insane. And if you can't edit down your own movie, you're not a good filmmaker.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Gina, to defend Joss Whedon, and you shouldn't, but just for a moment, my understanding is the Zack Snyder movie was like mostly done and it was testing horribly. So they asked Whedon to come in and like lighten up the movie, which is why it's so tonally imbalanced.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's funny too that Superman has had such a troubled history with directors getting fired. Richard Lester is the person who took over the movie from Richard Donner in when he was shooting it in 1979 to be released in 1980. And Lester's version is also good. Like it's not, I mean, he sort of did the same thing. He added some levity in there and it's not a bad version. It's the version we all grew up with, but Donner is a better filmmaker. And then Lester went on to make Superman 3, not good, but yeah, they're both much better filmmakers than Zack Snyder. Sorry, Zack Snyder. Richard Donner.
Look, I've enjoyed some Zack Snyder movies. You know,
same,
the Dawn of the Dead movie that he made. Watchmen. I'm a fan of his watch. A lot of people don't like it now.
I like
we all
his
liked
Watchmen.
It back in the day, and people have turned on it. I think it's very good. I do.
I like his.
I've read the original thing, and I understand that Alan Moore obviously is brilliant. I don't, you know.
I just think I think also his bros spoiled him. If he just made a couple of bad movies, I would be like, ah, whatever. He's fine. But just his weird bros like, spoiled it for everyone else.
No, the Snyder Cut bros absolutely soured a lot of it, you know, but like 300 and his Sucker Punch are visual feasts, but with very little behind it.
Yeah,
in my
opinion. Bet you loved Sucker
Punch. But
they
look good.
I'm told that there's a lot of behind it. I'm told there's a lot of behind in it.
Man, I will say, I just thought visually Sucker Punch was super interesting. And as I left the theater, I suddenly I started thinking about what I was actually watching. And then as I left, I was like, oh, I think I'm putting some pieces of what actually happened. This is not good. What? I mean, like the movie was fine, but it's like, oh, this movie is using these visuals to tell a different story. And I didn't pick up on it right away. I was just enjoying it for what it was.
Did y'all get your Superman advance tickets on Prime today?
If Zack Snyder doesn't direct it, I don't want to say it.
Why would I? Why? I haven't watched a movie in theaters without my kid in years.
Why wouldn't you take your kid? I'm taking my kid to go see Superman.
So how come you're not allowed to see movies without your kid?
Well, because when I do that, then that means that I'm giving up something else. Usually this goddamn podcast.
Sounds like someone doesn't know how to manage his time. What are you doing during the day?
Wow.
Working?
You don't work 5 days a week.
Wait, Chan does work five. He often works 5 days a week.
I thought that you were working at the matcha factory and they call you in from time to time.
No, I work full time. Do you?
Wait, at the matcha place?
What you don't understand at home is that if you have engaged in any matcha product in the last year and a half, Robert Clark Chan has personally worked
rubbed
on
my
your matcha
balls
product.
On it. Yes.
Yeah.
But no,
listen,
but you had
none of you people listening can afford the matcha that I'm packaging.
You had said at some point, like, oh, the matcha place might call me in. And if they do, I can't turn it down.
Because he was furloughed for like a couple of weeks.
No,
I remember.
Mean, basically, I'm real good. So they made me full time.
How about that?
Good.
And that happened like 6 months ago.
Did you apply to that podcasting thing that I sent you?
Not yet, no.
Damn it, Chan. Gina,
Chan's the only one on here with an actual permanent full-time job.
I have a full-time job, dog. They give me health insurance and everything.
Never mind.
Nice.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they'd stepped up.
Well, I
made
asked
an honest
them
woman
to.
Out of Gina.
They're sending us to Yamava Casino this Friday and Saturday.
Boy.
Free. I get a free suite. $200 for the spa, $200 to gamble with, all meals paid.
For the spa?
Wow. I didn't realize you were a traveling magician now. Congratulations.
They were taking some new rock stars footage of us having a good time, and in exchange, they're giving us the VIP treatment.
How about that?
Are they sponsoring the show? Like,
no, so like it's Yamava Resort and Casino. It's right. Both a resort and a casino. Only
yep,
one
sure.
Only 1.5 hours from LA.
Okay. I hear the spiel. I appreciate it.
But you know, like we don't even really like have to make a video. It's just, you know, they were like, oh, we would love it if you would like post that you're having fun at the casino on your personal pages, but
yeah.
There's no, you know, our guy that gets us these things was like, hey, does anyone want to go to Yamava Casino for, you know, like, and we have dinner reservations at there.
Everybody go like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, pretty much everyone was like, yeah, is this a trap? Like, what do you, why wouldn't we want to? But yeah, I got a free $200 to gamble with, free $200 for the spa. Free.
You guys can't see this at home. Gina's wearing a full Yamava Casino tracksuit, like a NASCAR driver right
Listen,
now.
Listen, the contact over there, a real cool guy. So far, it seems like it's going to be fun. Free grand suite.
No, honestly, it sounds awesome. Yeah.
I think I speak for all of us when I say that all of the suffering of the indigenous peoples of the Americas was worth it so that Gina could have $200 in
Yamava,
spa credit.
To be honest, I don't know who owns Yamava.
You don't know whose land you're on? The land acknowledgement, Gina? You're just going to sit there and suck down their buffets and not do any of that, huh?
Wait, is there crab at the buffet? Yeah, I don't care.
I mean, look, you guys, Yamava was voted one of the best of Orange County 2024. And Newsweek's Reader's Choice 2025 Best Casino Outside of Las Vegas. I don't know when this show turned into a full free ad for Yamava Casino, but I'm on board.
I just hope that they give us, the fancy room.
No, just give me the IP package. I don't even need the VIP package. Just the P package. I'll take the P package, Yamava.
The one where you were doing the peeing or they
no,
pee
they,
on
they
you?
Pee
if
on
it gets
you,
me a spa gift card.
Yeah, they pee on you, but then they give you a $200 spa gift card.
Yeah, that seems worth it to me.
I mean, yeah, I would do that. If it was part of the spa, yeah. Yeah, into it.
Yes, Chan,
anyway,
do not think you would enjoy.
Getting back
I
to something.
I heartily encourage the Yuho Viatam of San Manuel Nation people of the Serrano tribe to kick us down some of that sweet, sweet casino money.
We will advertise your casino on this show.
So, yeah.
We're not afraid. Anyway, the intro of this Superman episode. I was thinking while the intro was going off, it's a wonderful intro. Chan, can we hear some of that intro music?
I guess we'll find out. And so on.
It was great. And I think to myself,
yep.
I thought they did a really good job with that. I also have a note here because it offered me to skip the intro here on Max, as we call it around here. And I was like, who the heck skips the intro? And then I realized I'm raising a kid who skips the intro on purpose just to piss us off. The new season of Phineas and Ferb just came out. Season 5. Nobody thought it was coming. It's brilliant. And she will grab the remote control and skip the intro of one of the... I blame myself, really. Yeah. Well, we try to keep it away from her, but sometimes we're not paying attention and she'll just like reach over and grab it. And then we'll be like, what are you doing? Kind of a monster. You can deactivate the skip intro feature.
Yeah, you can deactivate it in your settings, and you can also deactivate like it going automatically to another episode.
What?
Well, I like that.
Yeah, you should turn that feature on, like turn it off for all your streamers because it's not.
Why would you ever skip the intro?
Yeah, I don't like to skip intros, and I don't like to skip the end credits either. I hate when they give you like 3 seconds to grab that remote. Half the time I'm looking for stuff in.
Well, I thought you meant you were looking for stuff like around the house.
No,
like, I can't find the damn remote. Like, I assume that was some sort of euphemism for you like diddling yourself. Like, I can't reach the remote in time.
Yeah, I've only got so many hands.
Yes, it's frustrating. Yeah, I don't like the idea that I'm raising a monster, but here we are. This is a Father's Day episode. It's Superman. It's season, 3, episode 15, called Father's Day. And we open at the park when a UFO shows up and just starts tearing stuff up.
That's got to be such a goddamn pain in the ass. Just to be Lois Lane and every fucking day, some aliens are coming down to like tear shit up.
No, she likes it. She's a reporter. That's what she lives for.
Ugh.
Well, is this where like I was laughing? Nightcrawler
situation?
Guaranteed. This alien's like a ball. It's like a metal ball with an eye and like tentacle hooks that come out of it. And immediately I was like, Lois Lane, just pull out your camera phone and grab a video of it. And then she pulls out her actual phone. And I'm like, when does this take place? She has an old style phone. No videos.
Well, that was the whole thing with Batman, though, too, is that aesthetically it's supposed to look. But it's also supposed to look like it's not set in a specific time period. That was the whole point of these Paul Dini, Bruce Timm shows, is that like, you know, they didn't want it to look.
Yeah, I mean,
like Batman was purposely noir-y.
Yeah, I mean, Batman was set in this proto like 90s and 40s sort of, you know, film noir world though. So I mean, like, I could accept it a little bit more out of there, right?
Man, I don't know.
Anyway. We'll see how that all turned out. Superman shows up on the scene, and there's apparently an evil wizard inside the UFO. But he's not actually inside the UFO like I first thought.
It's just a drone.
He's inside Darkseid's home planet. So that, I'll tell you right now, that UFO gets better cell reception than Gina's apartment. I'll tell you that right now.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
I'll just say, and Superman shows up and just blasts him. And I thought Superman was strong. Now they sort of explain it a little bit better because Superman is going face to face, toe to toe, head to head, power for power with this metal ball. And he's at some points losing. And I was like, I thought this dude was strong. What's going on? I thought he was durable. Right. It made sense once I got that piece of information, but at the end of the day, it's also still just a metal ball. I mean, you know, they use the same elements we use. That's how elements work. Yeah, but elements are the same all across the universe. Look, I don't read comics. I only watch Zack Snyder movies. That's where I get all my knowledge from. So they do. I mean, I did like the fact I know a ton about Darkseid. I've repped against him on Who Would Win twice. It just didn't happen. Who am I? Was I replaced with an AI?
You don't appear to be demonstrating the knowledge that you're telling us so much about is the issue, I think.
My only issue is that, you know, he's struggling against a metal ball. And he does, I mean, he gets over it, and he ends up getting over it pretty confidently, right? And anytime they throw a new weapon at him, at first he's like, oh, didn't see that coming, and then he rips the weapon off. And I did kind of like that bit.
Indeed.
You know, UFO shoves him off a cliff, fine. Pulls out a buzz blade, he tears that off too. It sets itself to self-destruct. He flies up into the sky. It blows up there. We're good. And that's where we cut over to Desaad, the evil wizard. Darkseid, the leader of the planet Darkseid. How BA do you got to be to have an entire planet named after yourself?
Is the dude's name
I got Desaad. That's what I got out of it.
Is his first name Marky? Like Marky Mark?
I walked into that, and I shouldn't have. I should know better by now.
I missed it the first time. Then when I heard it again, I was like, it seems like a Wahlbergian kind of character to play.
Oh my God. If Marky Mark had played this character, it would have been absolutely outstanding. I will say it right now. I do like his saying, like, Darkseid's like, hey man, your ball failed. You said it was going to kill Superman. And Darkseid, I think going into it, knew the ball wasn't going to work. Well, his response is, well, now I know how to do it.
I mean, a lot of things about this, and like, I never watched any of the series, so I don't know like what version, you know, like what kind of Darkseid we're dealing with here, and like at what point in the story, because it seems kind of like Superman's never met him before. So like, you know, there's a whole, we probably haven't seen him very much in the series yet, but it just felt like the thing where like, oh, you will not fail me again.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
It's snake stopping season, and we're going hunting with a G.I. Joe Raider.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe Raider.
But those snakes are striking back with a Cobra Condor Z-25. Two fire-breathing jets in one.
Cobra's Condor looking and flies, terror in the sky.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe,
a real American hero.
G.I. Joe Raider comes with driver Cobra Condor Z-25 with pilot.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe. Yo, Joe!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Anyway,
Here
he's got an entire planet named after him. It's pretty baller. He's got this wizard with this magical metal ball. And I think Darkseid knew it wasn't going to work. And Darkseid doesn't suffer fools. He makes that very clear in this episode.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't know how much we know about Darkseid at this point. Because it looks like I haven't watched any of the series, so Superman apparently has never met him before, so he's probably like a new character in season two. He's going to be like the big bad or whatever. And
well, he hasn't met him, but there have been interactions with like, you know, people that Darkseid's minions, basically.
Right. And this is one of them.
This is like the Thanos in the MCU where nobody had met him yet. Yeah.
They'd been laying the seeds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think that this whole you can only fail me once and then I'm done with you. It feels so 70s Darth Vader style. Like we've had Grand Admiral Thrawn by this point. So we know that like, yeah, you don't just like set people on fire because they screwed up once. This first Darkseid.
Darkseid's a boomer. Let's just call it for what it is.
Oh, yeah. He's a boom tuber.
He's a boom tuber. Thank you. God bless America.
Tina doesn't know because she's not well versed in the DC universe. A boom tube is something that Darkseid uses to. Okay. You know what? We can talk about this afterwards.
I thought a boom tube was what I use in the bathroom.
A fleshlight?
What are you?
We get to learn about more villains. We've got Mannheim, who leads Intergang, who's also already failed once. Kalibak, played brilliantly by Michael Dorn, one of the best voices NA.
I was just noticing how there was so much deep voice happening at the same time. I was like, Jesus, yeah. Man.
I mean, among the voice actors in general, like on this show, because they have like they also have Clancy Brown going on in some roles.
Yeah, even Superman's got kind of a deep voice in this one. Not that he should be a high pitched, you know, whatever. But
Tim Daly,
yeah, Darkseid, everybody, yeah, very good. Everybody was excellent, but Michael Dorn is a cut above. He's phenomenal. Anyway, everybody gets shut down. They all want to go beat up Superman. And Darkseid's like, you're all a bunch of failures. No. And then Mannheim gets a little bit too lippy. So Darkseid zaps him into the mines. Says, get to work, jerko.
Yeah.
Are they still using coal-powered furnaces on the planet?
This is what I'm talking about, Chan. Elements are the same.
They obviously don't need it, though.
They're just doing it to be dicks?
Exactly. Look,
guarantee it.
I do not care for Darkseid's management style.
It's great punishment. It's like you don't even get the satisfaction of a job well done.
Nah, just keep digging. Well, Desaad the Evil Wizard has a plan to send Kalibak, the son of Darkseid, to back to Earth for a second crack at killing Superman. He's going to open a portal. And then he says, if you do this, Darkseid will accept you as his son. Dun, dun, dun. We didn't know he was his son until that moment. Or maybe we did. I don't know. I did. Going back to Clark, Lois and Clark.
Hold on. Yes. This version, I feel like I think it was you that I was talking to. It may have been some other nerd-like people in my life that are completely different from you. I can't tell any of you apart anymore.
That's fine. Neither can I.
Clark Kent is gargantuan in this.
He's
series,
a very large man.
As is Superman. And there's like when you're watching the Donner Supermans, you can sort of see how someone wouldn't know that Clark and Superman are the same. Like they're like normal kind of bodies and like
what?
Could be anybody.
You need to rewatch it. Christopher Reeve was like 6'4" and like by the time he was done bulking up for that role, like 200 pounds.
So 6'4", so it's like average height. Yeah, I get it.
This Superman looks like he's 7 feet tall. He's got a chest literally like a barrel.
But that was what they did with Batman also.
Right. And you know, if Lois Lane saw Batman, she'd be like, that motherfucker's Bruce Wayne. Come on now. Did everybody see this, right? look at this guy's chest. He's enormous. He does 8,000 push-ups a day. So I'm not buying it.
I didn't really think about how large he was until you said it. And I'm like, oh yeah, he was real big at this.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite moment of the whole thing is Lois and Clark are there at the Daily Planet. And they are writing stories and they're explaining to Superman's parents who are there visiting what a computer is.
I mean, 1997.
I still have to explain to my mom what a computer is.
They had no idea. I mean, granted, this also might not take place necessarily in 97, but
it could take place any point. It could have been in 1805.
In 1997, that was like you were still getting like AOL CDs. So yeah, even if this was
Net Zero was a thing.
Even if this was 97, the idea that like, oh, I can send a memo from here to there and then
like if you were explaining that to a Lois Lane, for example, that's bullshit. But if you're explaining it to old, you know, your parents in 1997, exactly. That
let me tell you, my grandparents, farm life, they had a dairy farm in Michigan, and they had a computer.
In 1996, and they knew how a computer system at a big company worked.
They used it for spreadsheet purposes and for file documentation.
That is not the same thing.
He's using it for a word processor. What are you talking about?
They used it to control the milking machines that they used to milk Rana's sister.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was.
We don't talk about that, Chan. That was said to you in you know. Private. Rude.
How's that boom tube treating you, Ray?
Why do Clark's parents look so much like him? I was having trouble making that right in my head.
For the same reason that, like, your cat ends up looking like you. It's just sort of like you're around someone long enough and, you know.
Does my cat look like me? This is news.
He derpy as hell, so I assume it's because he looked like you.
You know what? That's a very fair point. Yeah, he is derpy. Chief gets real mad at Clark, and so the parents and Lois Lane go out to dinner, and Clark will meet up with them a little bit later. Meanwhile, portal opens. Kalibak is in New York City, goes into the nearest place, which just happens to be that same restaurant, and starts making a mess about it. And that's when my second favorite moment of the episode happens. He's tearing stuff up. Everybody's freaking out in the restaurant. He's headed towards a table to flip it over where a couple is sitting. And before he can get there, they see him, but they turn and clank champagne glasses or wine glasses a split second before getting up in terror as he flips the table over. And I love that they took the time to have that moment in such dire circumstances.
I mean, here's the thing. You're in fucking Metropolis. Lois knows every fucking day aliens is coming down. So you're in a Greek restaurant that looks like a temple. You're asking for it, honestly. You're like, you know, the odds of like a Wonder Woman arch nemesis coming down here and ripping shit up because you're like, where's Wonder Woman? She has, they have the same Doric columns as her house. I feel like people know. They know.
I mean, that's fair. At this point, like, the whole building starts to cave in. Daddy Kent has the roof fall on him. I mean, he's fine.
What is that bullshit?
He should have had some cracked ribs. I've been watching a lot of The Pit lately. And he would have had a cracked rib, and they would have had to, like, reinflate a lung.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No damage from a giant slab of roof falling on his entire lower section.
Also, honestly, I don't care for the writing on this. Because, like, okay, fine. You have to put one of these, you know, parents in peril so that Superman has some stakes to this thing. But
it's a Father's Day episode.
I know, but you... What is your father a fucking idiot like this guy? He's like, look at this enormous superpowered monster. Somebody ought to do something about
he
it.
He is you know a what? Good what? Man who stands up for what's right. That's what he taught little Clark to do.
What? How did he stand up? He said, somebody should do something. Ah, a rooftop's falling on me.
He was getting ready to do it himself. Even his wife later says, like, he was standing up to that monster all by his lonesome.
Some retroactive history. What do you call that when you Retcon? Whitewash history and had the word. It was on the tip of my tongue.
I'm not gonna give it to you.
Yeah, I know, and I deserve that because I delight in doing that to other people. So I now that my brain's going, I mean,
we call it Channing.
What
we call it Channing?
No, because Channing that history. An insult to Channing Sherman, who's one of the greats in this world.
You know.
But he could have said that as he was leaving. Or he could have said it directly to the big monster. He did neither of these things. He just sat there like he was on Twitter saying, like, oh, somebody ought to do something. And then the thing fell on him, as it should.
He was getting ready. He was in a stance.
I'll be honest. The thought of somebody, one of these online people, complaining about absolutely everything and then doing nothing to help in any way other than go online and complain about everyone who's trying to help having an entire roof of a restaurant fall on them, it's a good visual.
I mean, that sounds
good visual,
like,
and I like it.
That sounds like what Chan does. He comes on this podcast and he just complains.
Is Chan the boomer of this show?
Absolutely.
I'm the fleshlight of this show. I'm the only thing that keeps it interesting.
Anyway, I do like the bit. He says, Superman says, there's an innocent man in there to save. And Kalibak's like, there's no such thing as an innocent man. No one is innocent. Smack. And then they fight. And then we have a big old fight scene that goes all over the place. Also, I couldn't help but notice at one point, Superman and Kalibak are like hurtling down towards the street. And it seems like the streets of Metropolis are only about a foot and a half of balsa wood thick, because they go through it real fast. And there is no gap between the roof of the subway and the street above. I'm surprised more things don't break through. That's not structurally sound.
I mean, here's the thing. When your town is regularly getting ripped up by freaking alien balls and giant lion troll men, I guess, you make the shit cheap because you know you're just going to have to rebuild it again.
Very fair point. Very fair point. Cut back to Darkseid and his good friend.
I'm Mr. Darkseid. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, learn not to talk over Gina singing.
I don't even know the song, so I
changed Mr. Brightside to Mr. Darkseid. Get it?
Even I got that one, Chan. Oh my goodness!
Oh, that.
They play it at the halftime, or no?
Let me guess. It's another thing that you hate, Chan. You're starting to become a parody of yourself, like Zack Snyder.
Oh boy,
that is
the Zack Snyder of this show.
Oh my god, he might be.
He wants to, and Chan actually told me, Gina, while we were flipping around, he said, can I take it upon myself to make a 4-hour cut of this episode?
It wouldn't be hard, podcast? Honestly.
Yeah, speaking of which, let's hurry this train along here.
Well, we're on the flight.
We got to talk about this because little Goonie guy who looks...
Marquis de Sade.
Right, right. Marky Mark is sitting down. Watching Cinemax with the with all the squigglies in it, and then the shadow of Darkseid appears behind him. I'm like, motherfucker, you don't know about the jump button? You set it to NBC or whatever completely normal station. Then you go to the channel with all the softcore pornography, so that when your parents show up, you flip it back. You're like, I was just watching Kimmel. Mm-hmm. Was Kimmel on back when that was a thing? It didn't seem at all realistic to me.
It was just Jay Leno and David Letterman back then.
Ah, okay. Well, then let's say Letterman.
Okay.
Because, you know, you're a 15-year-old kid. No 15-year-old kid's watching Leno, I hope.
I was a 15-year-old kid watching Leno.
Oof.
You didn't understand it, though, so it doesn't count.
I loved news-based comedy back then, and Jay Leno, back in the day, Jay Leno was the guy who was doing it.
I feel like Jon Stewart was already working by that time, so.
But not on late-night television in the 90s.
He had Short Attention Span Theater. Yeah, I guess.
I did like Short Attention Span Theater, but wasn't that somebody else? Or maybe there were multiple hosts of that show.
There were.
Yeah, okay. I remember the less funny guy. No, but Jay Leno, even as a stand-up comedian in like the 80s, he was doing mostly news-based comedy, and I enjoyed it.
Well, there you go.
Different world back then, but, you know.
Yeah.
Back then, we all agreed Nazis were bad.
It was a good time.
You know, the 90s, kind of the best time ever, looking back.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Probably true, actually.
Yeah, sad, but I don't think I'm wrong. We have a big fight. They're doing a wrestling test of strength on the subway tracks. Punch, punch, punch. Superman gets over on him. And then Kalibak hits the third rail and starts getting electrocuted.
Gina, you've watched all of this, so you can tell me, cause apparently, Kalibak is the son of Darkseid. He is unrecognized as such. an accident of birth or something like that.
Well, he just, yeah, like he just doesn't like him.
How many baby mamas this guy got? Because this seems like the sort of thing a guy would say who has like dozens of kids that he does not pay any sort of child support for.
Yeah, he definitely has like a couple of half siblings, but I like
half siblings. Oh, Kalibak does.
Yeah, like, but I'm trying to remember if they were from his mom's side or Darkseid's side. Yeah, I guess. Okay, so I'm looking at it right now. Orion, Kalibak's half brother. So that was Darkseid, but a different mom.
Okay.
Brother from another mother. Mr. Miracle, foster brother. Big Barda, foster sister-in-law. So
she married the foster. Oh, she married the foster brother.
Darkseid adopted a couple of other kids.
Dang, he had kids. Didn't recognize them, went out and adopted other ones. Just
I think he likes. I think he likes his other kid. I think he likes. Oh yeah, I can't remember if he likes Orion or not.
I mean, look, but this is.
I think he sold Orion something.
I think we can delve into the relationships here, the father sons. And daughters' relationships, because I think it's relevant to the day. This dude's terrible. He's a bad dad.
Yeah. I mean, he wants to suck all hope out of every person on every planet ever. So I would say he's probably not the best.
No, but you know what? I'm going to go to bat for Darkseid right here, because if my kid pledged their entire lives to killing Superman and never even got close to killing Superman, I'd be a little disappointed too.
Is that what they had pledged their lives to? I think
no. Superman is an afterthought in all of this because Darkseid essentially wants to take over all worlds and like drain any hope from humanity. So the only reason he's really after Superman is because he like Superman is keeping him from conquering the universe. If Superman just let him conquer the universe, he'd be like, yeah, all right, homie, we good.
All right. Okay.
I suppose I'm just saying, like, I understand wanting your kids to be successful.
You can't even keep your kid away from the remote to not skip over the, what is it, the Ed and Eddie theme music? I wasn't paying attention.
No, Phineas and Ferb.
Wow, right, that's a thing.
Ed and Eddie. Not that there's anything wrong with that show. It's just no Phineas and Ferb.
I wouldn't know. I'm watching Steven Universe. And
again,
my kid does not skip the intro because he has respect for the game.
You probably don't let him anywhere near the remote. Your kid can't figure out how to work the remote.
Wow. There's a 0% chance
you let him even hold the remote control. don't you pretend over here.
Honestly, I have to use my phone as a second remote because I can't get it out of his hands. But he does legitimately watch through. I mean, honestly, the theme song to Steven Universe is such a banger that I think even your child would be like, you know what? I'll stick around for this.
I don't know, dude. The intros that she wants to skip, it's basically every banger. We could put Star Blazers on the TV. She'd be racing to skip it.
I would have disowned your child already.
See, she only does it because it gets a rise out of us.
Yeah.
And that's okay, the only. Well, she doesn't care. She just knows we don't want her to do it.
I guess I've re-owned your child then. That's acceptable.
This isn't. Yeah, you get it. look, they're still fighting, Superman and Kalibak. At one point, Mama Kent shouts out, "Clark, look out!" and is like, "Uh-oh."
Yeah, and Lois immediately is like, "Say what now?"
I think Lois really should have followed up on that. Again, I don't know at what point in the series if Lois ever figures it out, or if this is like one of a trail of breadcrumbs that she uses to get there. But
yeah, so Lois is always like always sort of has her suspicions and like in everything, even back from the Donner days, because she is supposed to be a good reporter. So she's sort of just like, huh, I wonder if, and then usually she talks herself out of it, but you know, eventually.
Well, it's one of those things where like you, like the dude is so hot and you know, like you're porking Superman, like you don't want anything to ruin that. So if you like get an inkling, oh, maybe I know his secret, you know, you'll just put a lid on it. Like, you know what? We don't need to pursue that.
Yeah. 100%. I also liked when Superman picked up two cars and made Kalibak the meat in a car sandwich.
Sure.
At which point Kalibak grabs Superman by the curl of his hair and shoves his head into the pavement. I loved that too.
It's a very wrestling heel thing to do.
Oh, I loved it. At which point Kalibak has a flashback of trauma from his parenting from Darkseid. Which you know, I was just like, all right, why not? And then Kalibak takes just an ass beating. He just takes a Mick Foley style ass beating in this fight. It's not that he doesn't get his hits in, it's just that Superman keeps getting over on him and he keeps taking the big hits, at which point Superman decides the fight is over, I have to go save my dad, who by the way is still under that piece of rubble
just hanging out.
So he just throws Kalibak straight up, just throws him basically into space. I mean, not that. He throws him very, very far and rushes in to save his dad. And I'm like, good job, Superman.
Yeah,
could have done that sooner, you know.
Yeah, at the end, he does like the Neo thing from The Matrix where he's just like holding up one arm and just like blocking all of Kalibak's punches. I'm like, shit, you could have done that earlier.
Yeah, it could have ended this fight a lot sooner, Clark. But I guess anyway,
he just wanted his father to appreciate it more when he saved him.
Yeah,
because when he does comes, you know, he's like, "Oh, is this my Father's Day present?" So he probably was like, he let him hang under there just long enough to be like, "Jesus, man, I guess I really do owe him."
Yeah, if you do it too fast, you know, they don't appreciate it.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah. Kalibak lands in either Central Park or the woods on the outskirts of town. I couldn't really tell. But he's in some wooded area and a portal opens. Darkseid walks in. And it's just like, I'm going to zap you back to nothingness, my home planet. I couldn't really tell. I think he zapped him into nothingness.
Sure.
Based on the conversation later. Superman then drops in and says, hey, I don't know, who are you? And I love that Darkseid just gives him the eye blast. Gives it to him real good and hard. Gives him that eye blast force lightning. And then just says, that's who I am. And then he just leaves.
And he baller. He's like, when the time comes, in this primitive planet, we'll swear allegiance to Darkseid. And then he like walks away and then stops. And then turns around and goes, or you will be destroyed. And it just feels like, the way he said it, it's just like he forgot that last part. Like, you will swear allegiance to me. Oh, fuck. And I will destroy you otherwise. You got that. That was all implied, right? That you were going to be destroyed. Okay, cool. Okay, I got to go.
This guy gets it. Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm out. I enjoyed that. Yes, I did. I liked his speech. I did ask the question to myself, why wouldn't you just kill Superman right here and now? Seems like you got him in a good place to do so. And they actually answer that question in the very next scene, which I was very happy about.
Wait,
I like it when that happens.
What'd they answer?
They answered why Darkseid didn't just kill Superman, the guy he wanted dead right there in that moment.
How? Hmm. How did they answer that?
Because, well, here's the deal. Because he gets asked that specific question, and Darkseid is being a little cagey about it, but what he is saying there is, I don't have the ability to. I was not strong enough, powerful enough, one-on-one in that forest area to actually kill Superman. And so this is where I think it gets real interesting.
Every single person that's failed him previously, yes. If he couldn't fucking do it,
then why is he being such an asshole to them?
And that's why, this is exactly what I'm saying. This is where you got to take it to. Darkseid knew every single one of these people was going to fail. Why? Because Darkseid knew that his power set on Earth, at least, just showing up, was not enough to put down Superman once and for all. So he just zaps him real good, because Superman in this world seems like he'll take that first shot and go down, and you get a chance to walk away, especially if you got a portal. And he took that chance because he knew he couldn't get it done. So him being terrible to all these people for failing is wild. It just shows what a true piece of garbage Darkseid is, that he holds it against them, that thing that he knew they couldn't do and that he himself can also not do.
I mean, again, he is a villain who wants to drain the world of hope. So this isn't that big a leap to me that he's like, hey, pussies, good job trying to kill Superman and failing, you pussies.
Yes. It adds depth. Also, Gene, I don't know if you know this, the S on his chest stands for hope.
Oh, my God.
Tell me that that's not a line from the Zack Snyder version of Superman, please.
Oh, Chan, I got bad news for you.
Please.
I got the worst news you're going to hear. In fact, that is a line from a Zack Snyder Superman movie.
English is his first language, right?
Well, he was a baby when he got here, so yes.
No, feel like it's something that, like.
But the S stands for hope, you see. So? And then at the end, Darkseid says, as many casualties as it takes, I don't care. I don't care about people. I don't care about their feelings. And that's how you know he's a force to be reckoned with. Not caring about feelings is where you get
power. I like this part. I like someone who's not going to let people get in the way of his goals.
Yeah. I approve of Darkseid and his mission here.
Darkseid was right.
Hashtag Darkseid was right.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Hashtag Darkseid did nothing wrong.
So coming back to the point of this.
Yes. Happy Father's Day.
Darkseid, good dad, bad dad. Jonathan Kent, good dad, bad dad. Superman doesn't have kids in this timeline.
Not
so
yet.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
Future good dad, I assume.
I would argue that Jonathan Kent, bad dad. Terrible.
No.
Dad.
Ugh.
You're the worst.
Darkseid, certainly a bad leader, king or president or whatever he is.
He conquered the whole planet and held it. What do you mean bad leader? His leadership skills are his best quality.
Well, they're still running on coal power, so I can't give him too much credit. He doesn't do a real good job of inspiring his employees to do better.
What do you mean? His son went above and beyond his duty set to try to kill Superman without even being told not to. But the desire was there, Chan. You're arguing that he's not motivating people. He clearly is.
He didn't accomplish his job the first time. I guess he's already been tried to take out Superman. Couldn't do it. And he didn't improve himself enough to succeed the second time. He was just like, well, let me try again. Same result. You keep trying to do the same thing. That makes you... What is that saying? If you keep trying the same thing, and
don't tell him his brain's not working.
You're an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. It. I mean, let's say this. What if killing Superman was like drawing a late night picture?
You, anybody want to take a guess how many times during the recording of this episode I had to mute it because somebody came out again and gave me more pictures?
And this is my point.
It sounds like he was lying about not ever being able to draw again, hun, huh?
Yeah, wow. I heard shouting was coming, but I heard no shouting, Gina.
Well, that's what the mute button's for.
I feel very let down.
A pretty good picture of him as a whale and me as a squid, though. We're both eating krill.
So you see, your parenting style is motivating your child to create art. And at the end of the day, isn't that what we all want?
I mean, I would argue that I'm a much better father than Darkseid.
Disagree.
I haven't fathered multiple children with other women.
Not well, that you know of.
The night is young, Chan.
I can pretty much guarantee you. I don't have... there's not a lot of like one-night stands or any-night stands in my history, so...
Not a lot of standing up that. In general, if you know what I mean.
Are you saying that I do improv rather than stand-up? I agree. Yes, I do. I don't know why. I thought we all understood that.
Yes, and boners.
Oh, I forgot that I have the stop button on this fucking thing.
I've been waiting for it for a while.
Edgelord number one.
The important thing is that I'm the best. I am
the best at being an edgelord?
Sure. I'll take what I can get. Look, I'm nearing the end of my life. I just need to make Marcus something.
Can I be like an edge duke?
Ugh. Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures.
But Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's like...
Is it because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.